You'll turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 19. We'll be starting at verse number 14. The Bible says in Genesis 19:14, "And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life. Look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my lord. Behold now, thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape hither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain. And behold, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him, for he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters." So we start this message at the end. We see Sodom's destroyed. Lot's unable to convince his married daughters and their husbands to leave with him to get out of Sodom alive. Lot's wife looks back. She turns into a pillar of salt. And even though the angels permitted him to stay in Zoar, he was too afraid to even stay there and ended up in a cave in the mountain with his two young daughters. So Lot has nothing but the clothes on his back. He's lost his family. He's lost his house. And the only reason God sent the angels to him was for Abraham's sake. So picture with me, if you will, Lot sitting in the cave. He looks out over the plains and he sees the smoke rising. And in that smoke, he sees his former life. In that smoke, he sees his wealth. He sees his friends. He sees everything that he's worked for as he looks out over that plain and sees Sodom and Gomorrah destroyed. Imagine the tears and the questions as he looks back on his life and begins to examine it. How'd this happen? What happened, Lot? The man Lot sitting in the cave, having lost everything. Imagine the thoughts he must have had as he sits there. Imagine the tears and the questions. Lot went from living in a godly home, living with Abraham, to living in a godless city and losing everything. Look back with me, if you will. We'll look over the story. Genesis chapter number 12. Lot started out with a spiritual foundation. His uncle Abraham, when he was called out, Lot was one of them that he took with him. The Lord called him out of Ur of the Chaldee, and he took Lot with him. In Genesis 1 through 4, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee." He's talking to Abraham. and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. He witnessed Abraham building altars. Look at verse number 7. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. So Lot travels with Abraham, and Abraham is called of God to be a father of a great nation. And Lot gets to go along for the ride. And he sees Abraham. He sees as he picks up stones and puts them in a stack. He sees Uncle Abraham as he goes and he takes the animal. What's that for, Uncle? He said, it's for the Lord. It's an offering for the Lord. But don't we need that for food? That's exactly why we're giving it to the Lord. The Lord gave it to us first, Lot. And he was there to observe, and he was there to learn from his uncle Abraham. We don't know what conversations took place, and I'm making them up, but you can just imagine he had a godly start. He had a chance. It's like a child growing up with grandma or growing up in a godly home. They have a chance to learn. When you bring them to church, why are we going to church today when we could be going somewhere else? Because we're putting God first. You know, people say, well, you don't regard one day above another. What we do, we set a day aside to serve the Lord. And they start out in a godly home. And Lot sees Uncle Abraham taking that sacrifice out. And he sees him laying him on the altar. And he sees the smoke of that fire going up to heaven. And he sees Abraham's lips moving as he prays to a God that Lot can't see. He was spiritually blessed. He saw him building the altar. 2 Peter 2:7 tells us, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. He's talking about Lot living in Sodom and Gomorrah. It's Peter that tells us that Lot was a righteous man, but he chose to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. He was physically preserved when he went with Abraham. There was a famine in the land, and Egypt always seemed to fare pretty well during these famines because of the Nile River. It would come up, and it would go down. It would come up and water the crops. There was food there. But Egypt in the Bible is a type of the world. When Moses and the Israelites were in bondage in Egypt and they were delivered out, their eyes always went back to Egypt. They always, oh, that we were there where the flesh pots were full, where we always had food. Never mind that we were beat all day. Never mind that we were slaves and toiling for them and we were in bondage. But man, we always had food. We weren't in these circumstances. Abraham was very rich and Lot had his own riches. Look at chapter number 13. It says, and Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. So Lot had been blessed along with Abram with spiritual blessings. And then a strife begins to take place. We see moving toward Sodom. When we look at Lot today, we see a progression that takes place. We see him moving toward Sodom. We see him moving into Sodom. And then we see him moving out of Sodom. He also did a little moving up in Sodom while he was there. Y'all follow me on that? Verse number 10, I'll quit saying that one day. 13, verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the... we need to read a little, go back. Verse number 6. There's a strife that takes place. Just follow me. Verse number 6. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. So it said, and Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents, and the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Uncle Abraham's the adult in the room. The argument's going on. They're out there in the fields, and the cattle begin to go for a piece of grass and say, ho, 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 that's for Abraham's cattle. And Lot's men said, no, that's for Lot's cattle. They begin to argue. I know I'm simplifying it, but you know how it happens. The argument's taking place, and the strife beginning to build, and the talking, and the backbiting, and the get fired up and go to Abraham, and Abraham, he doesn't join in. He doesn't say, well, that Lot, that nephew of mine, here's what I tell you to do. He goes to Lot, and he said, look, we're brethren. There's no need for this. There's no need for this strife. There's no need for this drama. I tell you what, Lot, look out. Choose which way you're going to go. He said, if you go to the left hand, then I'll go to the right. You go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. I know the Lord's going to take care of me. I know the Lord's in charge. So whatever you choose, God's in control. And Lot looks out there. He has a choice. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Abraham knew he'd been promised all that land. And look what the Bible says in verse number 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes. Now, that's a key word there. He lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. And Lot chose the plains. Verse number 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. So Lot looks out there, and he says, all right, Uncle Abraham, all these well-watered plains, we're going to go this way. Abraham says, fine. God's in control. He's going to take care of us. And Lot takes everything he has, and he moves on. The problem here is Lot didn't ask God what he should choose. You know, there's times in our lives, we've all got it, huh? There's times in our lives when it seems like there's a blessing ahead of us, and that blessing can turn into a curse when it comes to our spiritual life. And I'm sorry, but it just happens like that. And how do you make a choice? You know, how do you decide what's God's will? You have to pray and you have to trust God for it. But there's times when people don't even consult God on it. They say, this job has more money. This place is a nicer place. Now I'm going to go here. And it just makes sense. And God's blessing me, and this job is going to pay me more. I'm going to take this, and God's blessing me, and they go off in that direction. I don't know if I'm getting ahead of the sermon here, but here's Lot. He has a choice, and he's choosing with his eyes. Abraham's choosing to trust God for something that he can't even see. It's that faith we were talking about in Sunday school, right? It's placing faith in what God has in store for us. Does that mean that you can't, that just because the job pays more, that it's not meant for you? That doesn't mean that. Do y'all follow me on that? I'm trying to come up with a different illustration, but that's the only one I can think of, because times in my life I've had to choose. You've had to choose between this and between that. One doesn't pay so well, but this other one does, but it's going to take you away from what's going on here. I told you about Decatur Baptist, and just by way of illustration, there at Decatur Baptist, about to start discipleship. Had a job opening come up down in Thomasville. It was an offer. It was a better opportunity, seemed like. But it took a long time to come back around to doing any discipleship. We moved down the road. We don't know what would happen on those roads that we take or don't take, or those roads that we avoid. But we know what happened here. When Lot chose the plains that were well watered, that put him in sight of Sodom and Gomorrah. So he made a worldly choice. Lot chose with his eyes. He decided for the well-watered plains of Georgia based on what on Jordan. Dee Dee's going to get mad at me now. She's from Georgia. On the well-watered plains of Jordan, well-watered like the land of Egypt. Once they've been to Egypt, it's hard to let go of Egypt. Once you get in the world, it's hard to let go of those things of the world. And he wanted something similar. Lot had a taste of Egypt and the vast amounts of wealth that were there. He'd seen the gold. He'd seen the plentiful food. He'd seen the fashions. And he chose according to his eyes. He was making a decision according to what would best provide for his family without one thought for the spiritual effects on his family. There's a preacher says it's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. You follow that? It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. That's a hard thing, because sometimes we think, well, if we just do this, I'll be in a position to help God better over here. That's a hard thing when you're facing decisions to say, well, you know, maybe that's not what God wants if I got to do this to get here. If I had to do something wrong in order to do good, that may not be what God wants. So Lot didn't try to settle the disagreement so that he could stay in fellowship with the one who was in fellowship with God. Verses 12, 8 through 9, from what Abraham said in the choice that Lot made, we can assess that Lot was the unhappy one and had carried it down to the ranks of his men. I thought about that before, but I'm not so sure. Maybe it was. Maybe he griped about Uncle Abraham. Maybe it had spread to his men. But he chose the plains, moving into Sodom. Look at verse number 8. As soon as I find it in my Bible. Verse number 9. Well, we'll start at verse number 11 and we'll get there. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Now, Lot's just on the outside of Sodom now. He's pitched his tent toward Sodom. Other Bibles say that he pitched his tent near Sodom. But there's just something special to me about the phrase he pitched his tent towards Sodom, because that's a direction. That's not just a location. He's pitching towards Sodom. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's just a little semantic word. But he's kind of got his eyes on it, but he's not dwelling there. Near is a fixed location, but toward is a direction, and that is definitely the direction that Lot headed, because we see in Genesis 14:12 that Lot was now dwelling in Sodom, and having tied his fortunes to Sodom, he suffers the same fate as Sodom. Genesis 14:12. And they took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. The kings of Sodom were attacked, and Lot and all his goods get captured with them. And then he gets saved by Abraham, but he suffers losses in the meantime. He's taken to be a slave along with his family, seeing his children abused by the slavers, seeing his wife and daughters leered at, losing those goods that he had acquired. But then he's saved by Abraham. Look at verse number 13. And there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshcol and brother of Aner. And these were confederate with Abram. And when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his trained servants, born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants by night, and smote them and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods and also brought again his brother Lot and his goods and the women also and the people. This is starting to be a Bible study lesson. Let me, when you make those decisions, they have an effect on your life. When you make your decision to pitch your tent towards Sodom, or when you make your decisions based on the material rather than the spiritual, it doesn't happen right away. With Lot, it didn't happen right away. But he begins to suffer the same fate as Lot. He begins to throw in his lot with the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, so to speak. You get that? And he suffers some of the same losses. And he goes through trials that he wouldn't have had to go through had he stayed with Uncle Abraham, or had he worked it out, or had he maintained a relationship with God. When we allow ourselves near Sodom, we soon move in. He may have never set out to actually live in Sodom. It's just that the lands were well watered and they would be a great place for the cattle to thrive. They lived in tents, but every now and then they needed something. They'd go into town and shop. It's so nice and convenient. There's Sodom over there, and honey, we need some milk. Oh, well, I'll go into town and get it. And she comes back. They lived in tents, but every night it was so nice and convenient the way it was in Egypt. They had the latest fashion. There was great wealth. Sure, there were sinful people living there and things going on that he didn't agree with, but his family didn't have to participate in that. And then came the day when his wife told him about the house that became available. Are y'all pretending with me? She comes back and said, honey, there's a great apartment over there in town. Oh, really? That would really save me some trips. Well, you know, we could move in there. Well, there's a lot of sin going on in there. There's a lot of bad stuff going on in there. Well, we don't have to participate in that. We are Christians, after all. We can maintain our testimony and all that and live there. I'm just saying, folks. Now, I know it doesn't say that right there in the Bible, but I'm just trying to apply it a little bit to our lives. And he says, and some of y'all are saying, well, what did I do? This is just teaching. He's taking it. And then pretty soon we see him moving up in Sodom. Look at chapter number 19. So he doesn't start out to live in Sodom, but then he ends up living there. And Abraham has a conversation with three angels. One of them is the Lord. And the Lord says, should I tell Abraham what I'm going to be doing to Sodom? He's asking himself. And he says, I know Abraham. I know that he'll teach his children. It says it right there in the Bible. I know that he'll teach them, and I know that he'll lead them. So he tells Abraham what he's going to do to Sodom. And Abraham says, Lord, peradventure there'd be 50 righteous in Sodom. Would you destroy it for 50 righteous? If there's 50 good people in Sodom, would you take out the good people with the bad? And he said, no, I won't do it for 50. He said, Lord, please forgive me. What if there's only 5 less than 50? The Lord said, no, I won't do it for 45. He said, Lord, just please forgive me. If there's 40, he said, no. 30, no. 20, no. And he gets all the way down to 10 people. And the Lord said, if there's 10 righteous people inside of Sodom, I will not destroy it. Now, here's the funny thing. There wasn't even 10 righteous people because the Lord wiped out Sodom and Gomorrah. The only righteous person that we know of, according to the Bible and according to Peter, was Lot, living among all those people. And he didn't have to. It said Lot vexed his righteous soul from day to day, living with all of that sin. Now we see a little bit of that sin. Look at verse number 1 and 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. Now Lot, before he had pitched his tent towards Sodom, then he was living in Sodom. Now not only that, he's sitting at the gate. Now, if you know your Bible, you know that when they sat at the gate, they conducted business. You know, they tended to be leaders in the community. That's where Boaz had talked and met to conduct business about Ruth, about the inheritance. And so Lot has kind of moved up in the city, and he's begun to participate in the things in the city. You know, we can affect change. We can make things happen. Maybe we can get these votes changed. There's only Lot there. So he pitched his tent toward Sodom, dwelt in Sodom. Now he's sat in the gate. And we see moving out of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, verse number 1, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways." And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house. And he made them a feast and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." And that's in the biblical sense. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do you to them as it is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing, for therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them." And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-laws, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked, and unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And here we find Lot. We know the rest of the story. We know that he was taken out of the city. We know that his wife turned back and looked at Sodom, and she turned into a pillar of salt. We know that they mocked him. So moving out of Sodom, Lot had just pitched his tent. He had just started that little slippery slope of compromise. He chose the plains that were well watered according to his eyes, according to what he thought would best provide for his family, without giving any thought to the spiritual side that he'd learned from his uncle Abraham. And he's out there on the plain, and he sees Sodom, and he moves in. And then he begins to move up and participate. But in the end, as he's taken out by the angels, he looks back, and he sees the things that he lost. And Lot lost some things. Number one, he lost his moral compass. Over in 3 through 8, he offered his daughters to satisfy the Sodomites. He didn't think it a strange thing. Now, it's a little stranger to us than it was to them back then. But he didn't think it a strange thing to offer his daughters in place of the men that had come, that they could be. Anyway, Romans 1:27, "And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet." He lost his testimony, number two. He lost his moral compass. He lost his testimony. He had no testimony with the men of Sodom. They said, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. You came in here among us, and you're going to tell us what to do? We're going to deal with you worse than the other." He had no testimony with the people that he was around because he had been in their community. He had been part of their life. He had been part of their community. He had no testimony with them. He had no testimony with his own family. When he told them this place was going to be destroyed, he seemed as one that mocked to them. His daughters had probably married men of Sodom, and he just seemed as one that mocked. It's a hurtful thing when you've compromised with the world and when you've let things slide off to the point that when you're really trying to help somebody spiritually, and it's just a sounding brass, there's nothing behind it because they've seen your life. They've seen your walk. They know what you've done. And it's not like you're coming out of that and everything changes. It's like you were already there, but you've compromised. And your words mean nothing to them. He lost his testimony. And he lost his family. So in leaving Sodom, Lot ended up losing his family. How does this apply? You get into life, you get away from God. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it. There's no guarantee that they won't get into sin. But I tell you what, there's even less of a guarantee if you're not teaching them early on, if you're not raising them in church and raising them right, there's even less guarantee that they're going to come back later. He lost his family. He lost his daughters. They were probably born there. They were his youngest daughters. He had to leave his married daughters behind because his son-in-law didn't believe him. He lost his wife. She looked back. They had been in Sodom. They'd been around those riches. They'd been around those things. And when they got away and they were over in Zoar, she looked back at Sodom. The Lord said not to look back. It's so hard sometimes not to look back at those things that you enjoyed or not to look back at that sin and not to want to drift back to it. The Lord tells us to turn away from it, walk away from it, not to look back. She looked back, she turned into a pillar of salt, lost Lot, lost his wife, and he lost his wealth. It's doubtful that Lot had a bunch of cattle inside the city. It's more likely that he sold all those cattle to move into the city because he probably got them back when Abraham rescued him. But then he lost everything, and it all went up in smoke, his house, everything that he had, and he has nothing left. And then look at verse 23 to 29. Lot lost something else that was important. Verse 23, the sun was risen upon the earth, and when Lot entered into Zoar, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. Verse 27, and Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. Abraham gets up in the morning to spend time with the Lord, and he looks out over the plains. Verse 28, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot dwelt. See, there's a contrast here between what's going on with Lot and what's going on with Abraham. Lot's in that cave, and he sees that same sun that Abraham sees. The difference is Lot's been up all night. Lot's been running. Lot's had his life dissolving. Lot's been surrounded by chaos. He's been surrounded by men that were going to take his company, his guests. He's been surrounded by violence. He's been surrounded by sin. And in the morning, all he can do is look out and see the ashes. Abraham, on the other hand, who chose to stay with the Lord, he slept all night. It said he rose up early in the morning. All that fire and all that brimstone that was going on, it might have just rumbled him a little bit, and he rolled over. He wakes up in the morning, he's got peace. He's got perfect peace. He looks out there, and I think Abraham says, well, I wonder if Lot's there. No, the Lord said he would take care of him, and I know he did. Maybe he says a little prayer for Lot. The difference, Lot looks back, and he looks out over his life, and he looks out over the things that he lost, and he looks back, and I wonder, does he see that one point when he split, parted ways with Abraham, and he looked out on the plains that were well-watered? Does this sound like a scary story? Does he go back to that point? There's decisions in our lives. There's decision points. There's times in our lives when we come to a decision point. A lot of times people come to a church and they hear the preacher preach and they hear about Jesus Christ dying for their sins. They hear that he died on the cross for their sins. They realize that when they die, they're going to hell. And they reach at crossroads. And that's the first crossroads that you reach in your life. And you have to make a decision. You think you're going to make it on your own. And they make it clear. You don't make it on your own. Nothing you do can save you. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. As she plays...